You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harks.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Erin Harks with the Mistress of None. Thanks so much for tuning in. I am recording this right now from home. I normally do it when my husband isn't here, but I ended up being home. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm feeling incredibly bright today. Unexpectedly. Wow. I'm home unexpectedly. I was supposed to perform at the Funny Bone. Here's one of the fun things about the business. Sometimes you get asked to open for a nationally touring headliner, and sometimes at the last minute they decide that they're bringing their own people. And it's all part of the game. It's fine. I'm honestly not even that mad that I have the night off. I just wish I found out like an hour before because I got ready. So I'm wearing tights and makeup and I did my hair and I put on a bra, guys. You know, that's commitment. So I'm home now and my husband is downstairs and he's about to start using his trainer, a bike ride. So you're going to possibly get some sound effects to that. And I apologize in advance. But what are you going to do? He's got to stay fit or I'll leave him. Anyway, so let's see what's going on. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. I had a lovely Thanksgiving with my in-laws. It's nice to not travel too far and have someone else cook. It's always a really sweet thing. It was very easy, laid back, just fun, nice day. Of course, we are nearing the two big events that I have coming up. I know you guys will be grateful to not hear about them anymore. Well, you'll still get tired of shit anyway, but this is airing on the 29th of November, and thus tonight will be my very first Lena Go Round, which is a singer-songwriter showcase at Cafe Lena. I've got Reese Fulmer, Matt Griffin, and Carolyn Shapiro joining me tonight. We really want to see this turn into a regular event. It's going to be all original music by some of the best in the area and beyond. So if you haven't gotten tickets yet, they're only $10. What the fuck are you waiting for? Get your tickets. Come on out tonight. It's going to be a really fun show. It's going to be just, you know, us like playing our songs and telling some stories. And there will be a new song by me that has not seen the light of day yet, if that entices you in any way. It's going to be so much fun. There's, of course, details on my website if you want to check that out, erinharks.com. While you're there, feel free to sign up for the mailing list because I'm going to start sending out some free tickets to my comedy album debut special premiere. That's too many fucking words. December 6th, my comedy album and my YouTube special are coming out. It's called Uncle Ernie. I worked really hard on it. I'm really excited for it to come out. I'm really excited to share it with you all. We're having a party that night at UPH in Saratoga, so you can get some tickets to that. If you don't live nearby, that's fine. All I ask is that you listen to the album, download the album, watch the YouTube special. Just let's get those numbers up because that will be really good for me. And it doesn't cost a whole lot. I mean, to watch YouTube doesn't cost you anything. So if you want to do that and share the special, that would be great. If you already have Apple Music, then the album is free. Here's my call to action, guys. And this is, I need you. You ready? On December 6th, if we all download it right around the same time, and I've chosen 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if we all download it right around the same time, it has a good chance of charting on iTunes. You're going to hear me talk about that a few more times on here and on social media. Help a sister out, because that was the one big goal that I set with this album, was that it charted on iTunes. And it's actually very possible if we all, you know, get all of our friends and all of our enemies and whoever has Apple Music. And if you don't have Apple Music, I think you can get it if you have an Android, no judgment. You can get the album by going to Google Play, and you can get Apple Music. You could probably even get a free trial. Do it, get the album, listen to it a couple times, delete before you get charged for Apple Music, and then just go listen to it on Spotify, because that counts too. But those are a couple of ways to support. Anyway, so this week I interviewed Pete Gannon of the United Way. He is a super positive, super interesting guy. It was a lot of fun to sit down and talk with him. And we got to meet at the Blake Annex. They have a beautiful podcast studio there, which I'm very close to making my home. Not that I don't love the backdrop here and, you know, the sound of my husband pedaling in the basement. But it was a great space, and we had a really great conversation. And I hope you enjoy. Coming up next on The Mistress of None, this is Erin Harks with Pete Gannon.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harks.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Erin Harks with the Mistress of None podcast. Thanks for tuning in. My guest today is Pete Gannon. Pete, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's so nice to be here. We are at the Blake Annex. And why are we here?
Well, you wouldn't stop bothering me about it. I'm just kidding. I told you I had some stuff to get off my chest, and you were very gracious and thought, well, hey, maybe we could come down and talk. And we got to work together a little bit earlier this year, and you
yes.
were the hostess of our big fundraising awards night to thank all the wonderful people in the community who support United Way, my day job. And
So a little history on Pete before we get started.
Yeah.
Is that this
I
is
want to ruin. I don't want to give it all away.
Well,
minute.
Well, we'll ease into it. There's some big secrets that are going to be told here today. But the first one is that you work for the United Way. You are. The United Way.
I am one person. Yeah, we've got a great team of 20 here, but I am the president and CEO. So, it's my job to kind of keep everybody moving in the same direction. So.
Great. And they had an award show earlier this year for local people who volunteer, people who are active in the community.
Yeah, but I mean, from everyone who, you know, volunteers or supports us financially to just citizens we see doing amazing stuff in the community to make things better here in the Capital Region. And you know, we kind of try to jam it all in one night to recognize sort of the best to do a great job of keeping us going here at United Way, but also show up for everybody in the community.
It was a fantastic night. I was honored to be a part of it. Was it your idea to have maybe the host?
I never heard of you, to be honest. Had never heard of you. And they, when they said your name, I thought, that does seem familiar. And I'm just kidding. I heard of you. I've been an admirer of you and your, the misnomer of this podcast name. I mean, it's funny, but you're not, far from a mistress of none. I mean, you walked in, watching you handle that crowd, that audience that night after one meeting with us. Was completely impressive. And
thank you.
We, we're big Erin fans here and didn't disappoint that night. And, so it just solidified my fandom, I guess.
Well, I appreciate
that. Admiration of you.
Thank you. And I know it's hard for you to be kind to people. So
sometimes,
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a grump.
Well, I think that's why I liked you automatically. Like you came into the meeting a little bit late because, you clearly don't give a shit. And you sat down, and I was like, this guy looks like fun. Like, I'm going to have fun with this guy. But I always get nervous when I get asked to do events like this because people always say, feel free to throw in your comedy.
Yes.
And I'm always like, clearly, you've not seen my comedy if you think that it would be appropriate for a setting like this. I mean, I've already sworn how many times in the first minute we're in here,
And the walls haven't caved in.
They haven't.
We really like to push the envelope here, and that's that's part of what you represent. And, you gave an appropriate amount of shit to the people in the room that night, and I think it worked well.
I definitely had to ease into it. Carm made it easy, though. Yeah,
he's the best.
By offering me a cough drop. I don't know why that struck me as so funny, but like I managed to make like 3 separate jokes about that as the night went on.
Yeah, Carm's the best, and he's, can't say enough great things about him.
Well, and
but a comedian, he's not. He's not a comedian.
Well, he was
very stoic, very straight laced,
and I could tell that, and that's why. Like sometimes when you meet somebody that's stoic and straight laced, and you get them to like crack up,
yeah,
that's like for me, that's the biggest victory. And I made him laugh like 2 seconds before he went on stage.
Played well. Like, you guys played well off each other.
It was fun, but like I think he said at one point, he's like, "Why does she keep like busting my balls?" Like it was like just an easy target. He seemed like a fun, good sport.
He is a good sport. Good sport, great leader, good friend of the organization. We wouldn't be here in the Blake Annex without Carm.
Now, Carm is he's the president of CDTA, CEO.
He's the CEO.
CEO.
And he was the chair of our board up until about 2 weeks ago. So,
right.
We have term limits, which I highly recommend. But he did something extraordinary for us where he served for 4 years. Usually the term is 2 years. But we had undertaken this project, the Blake Annex, and it was at a fever pitch as his first term was coming to an end. And now most people would say, I did my part, I'm out of here, but not Carm. You know, he wanted to hang in there, and I was so appreciative of that. And, glad we get to keep him close to the organization. We've got another great leader stepping up, Brian Sano, who's just another great voice in the community, shows up so authentically, and, excited to see where he's going to take us the next 2 years.
Great. Now, I've always been very enamored by the nonprofits in this area. I feel like, I guess I don't know enough about nonprofits in other areas, but there's just a nice feeling about them. I feel like they all tend to work together. They have really fun events. If I'm wrong, then... Some of them work well together.
Yeah, I mean, it's competitive. There's a limited amount of dollars, and everybody's trying to do great stuff.
Sure.
I like to think of myself as I've been a real champion in my 5 years here of trying to break down a lot of those walls mm-hmm. and those silos. In fact, we don't want to make this a United Way thing and talk business the whole time, but a little business is...
Do it.
Yeah, we just announced this partnership with the Regional Food Bank and where we're going to close the meal gap in Albany County. So Dan McCoy, the county executive, Tom Nardacci, who's a new leader at the food bank, it's kind of first of its kind in the world. And we think if we hit this out of the park, this is a partnership we can replicate everywhere there's a Feeding America, like the food bank, and there's United Ways everywhere too. So, we're just getting started on this thing in Albany County, but we think it's got the potential to be done in every county to help, get increase access to food. It's something that people are really struggling with right now. But, a lot of different pressures in the world contributing to it. And so, I think a partnership like that probably doesn't happen 10 years ago. And, it doesn't happen if you don't have leaders like Tom who are like willing to try new things. And I like to think of myself as pretty entrepreneurial and willing to try new things, willing to fail. And, that's not an indictment of nonprofit leaders. It's an indictment of the people who sort of fund nonprofits. They just want the result, right?
Yeah.
They want the outcome. And we don't get to run our businesses like everybody else runs their businesses. And so...
Yeah, you have a different set of rules.
Yeah, so we've been fortunate to have leaders and donors who, want us to take some chances, want us to try things a little bit differently, try to, because the same old's not working.
Yeah.
They understand that. So... In that sense, I think what you see in Albany and the capital region is you do have a progressive set of, philanthropic leaders that, want to shake up the status quo a little bit and realize it's kind of necessary to move forward.
And that's what I've seen.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, there's a lot of, there's got to be a lot of crossover in things that each of the nonprofits work towards. And so why wouldn't you just try and work together and combine efforts when the end result is not like, it's not like a pissing match. The end result is to better the community and help people. And I get that sense anyway, from some. There was definitely one that I went to, one event that I went to.
Are we going to name names?
We might.
Okay.
We might.
I'm here for it.
I was working at a mental health clinic as a temp like years ago. And because I was like, fresh meat, they wanted me to come to one of their events.
Yeah.
And it was a nonprofit organization, but it was at Franklin's Plaza. It was like a 6-course meal.
Nice.
It was open bar. There was Lovely. A band. There was all this shit. And I remember sitting there going like, the fuck is the point of this? They weren't raising any money. They were all patting themselves on the back. And I remember being like really grossed out about that. And moving forward in life, when I was be asked to like donate to things like that or help out things like that, I became very aware of overhead. And where the money actually goes and how much like CEOs make of different, you know, nonprofit organizations. And I get that. I mean, you need to have a salary. Somebody has to be steering the ship, but do they need to be making like, you know, 7 figures? Like,
it would be nice.
It would be nice. But,
yeah, I mean, to your point, I mean, I think there's this, I don't know how true it is, but there's this widely attributed statistic that, like, 1 out of every $6 that gets donated to charity actually gets to help somebody.
Doesn't that gross you out?
And yeah, it doesn't. But the other side of the coin is, you know, you want to have talent in the sector. You want to have, you know, innovation and ideas. But, you know, that said, it's a great idea to look at what people are doing for overhead. And I'm very proud of how, in fact, I think my second year here, I got reprimanded for being too lean by our auditors. Like we weren't spending enough on fundraising. We weren't spending enough on those things.
And that's when you hired me. I'm just kidding. No, but I assumed that I was being asked to volunteer, and it wasn't until
We pay you?
I got paid.
How much?
I mean, it wasn't a lot, but you know, okay. it was nice.
It was a little gas in your tank to get from Saratoga to Troy.
Yeah, but when it was like mentioned to me, I was like, I was fully, you know, well, you guys are a bunch of suckers, because I was ready to just show up and.
So I think a lot of times talented people believe that that's the expectation. That's disproportionately impacted Black talent and female talent. And so we've made it a priority here that when we ask somebody to do something for us, we want to compensate you. And
it was a lovely surprise.
It's not going to be your best paid gig, but you know, whether you come in and talk to our staff for an hour about wellness, or you know, you're digging in with us on the annual report, or you know, the financial strategy of the organization, we see something that you have that we need, we're going to compensate you for that.
That's amazing.
A lot of people don't, and a lot of institutions with the resources don't do that.
Yeah,
and so.
And I could see, you know, to an extent sometimes where, you know, things are donated, time is donated. But I know that there are definitely budgets that are set aside for those particular things. And I'm no stranger to, like, donating my time. But I also, it's kind of a nice perk when you think that you're not going to get paid. And then,
then you got to call the bank and be like, hey, I'm going to pay my mortgage with all this goodwill I generated from hosting the
I've been paying an exposure for so many years. And the banker's like,
sure.
I rent... Right. Strictly with exposure. I get meal tickets at some places. You know,
think
that goes
about
right
all the
in my
people
gas
you're
tank.
Be in front of.
Well, it's funny because at my age now, it's like whenever somebody new reaches out to me to try and book me for something, and they're like, we offer blah, blah, blah plus food. And I'm like, I have food.
Yeah.
Like,
well, we paid you cash plus, I think you probably got like a limited bottle of waters.
I did.
Unlimited.
And there was pizza.
And a cough drop.
No.
I just brought it back to the Carbacil cough drop.
But I had the cough drop.
Oh, you had the cough drop. I messed it up.
Oh, no, you're right. He offered me a cough drop. I didn't take the cough drop because I don't take candy from strangers.
Well.
But there was pizza, too, when I first got
there.
Did
we have pizza?
It was very nice.
Pull out all the stops.
I was spoiled. I mean, I hope you want me every year because.
Yeah.
I'll change it up. I'll find somebody else to pick on, you know?
Yeah. Love it.
So you mentioned when I first got here that you had interviewed Matt Baumgartner on your podcast. So you used to have a podcast.
I used to have a podcast. That's going to be the name of my new podcast.
Yeah, I used to have a podcast.
Yeah. So
who's going to be your first guest?
I don't know. Maybe if you do it, that would be cool. We could actually just... Change
back and forth. We'll
change
sit on
the intro
side.
Music and try to record a new introduction and just use this. I loved it. I love people. I mean, that's the best part of this job for me is when I get. There's nothing worse than when I have to sit up at my desk and you know crank through a freaking spreadsheet. I like and get energy from being with people, whether it's our donors, whether it's you know the agencies we work with, or, you know, with somebody like you to, you know, put on an event. And so the podcast was awesome outlet for that. And it wasn't like this over the top United Way push. It was just talking to interesting people from the Capital Region about, you know, what they do to make this place an awesome place to live. And Matt was so good, because I think, you know, my lesson learned from that is I was very straight laced, because I was very much the United Way CEO going into recording that podcast. And I asked Matt a question about his involvement in the battle for marriage equality in New York State. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. It was like somebody put a nickel in him, and like he was off to the races, and, you know, explaining his role, and that passion came out, and, you know, some of the language came out, and I was like, this is electric. You know, these conversations, like, people, I think, want more of this. So it was fun. It became a victim of COVID and costs and,
yeah,
you know, just time and bandwidth. But I think it's awesome that you're putting conversations like this into the universe, because there are a lot of interesting people living here in the Capital Region. People doing great stuff, see it every day, and they should be celebrated for it. I mean, and Matt's one of those people for sure.
He's he was definitely a fun guest. But it is funny because he'll be somewhat timid at first.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, then he forgets the microphone's on.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I've lucked out with, like, all of the guests that I had, but, you know, I have pre-existing relationships with them, so I know that they're going to be, you know, interesting conversations.
We spent so much time, by the way, speaking of Matt Baumgartner, we spent so much freaking time at June Farms in the first few months of that pandemic with our kids, and what an awesome venue. And there was never, sometimes not be anything going on at the farm. You could just come and walk around, and just what an amazing thing he's done out there. Wherever the hell it is, April Park, Stanley?
West Stanley, technically. Well, I was doing my live streams during the pandemic, and it was like the first really nice day.
Yeah.
And it was my Friday happy hour live stream that I had coming up, and I just messaged him, and I said, can I just come play, like, outside the barn?
Yeah.
And he goes, sure. And I, like, we couldn't really promote it. We had to be, like, kind of careful about it. So I told a few people, but it was, like, my first time playing in front of people in, like, 3 months. And, like, you'll see, like, after, like, the first song, I heard applause, and I was like,
yeah,
like, I missed it so much.
Yeah. Fuel for you.
Yeah, it really is. I hate how much I have to admit that now, having gone that long without it, but, boy.
Yeah, we all need it.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm at least admitting it.
Yeah. You are admitting it. What else do you want to admit to?
What do I want to admit to? Let's see. No, this is a really interesting place. This is the studio here at the Blake Annex, and it's just funny to me that I actually did a comedy show up here. This was the Steuben Rooms.
Yeah, this was the Steuben Athletic Club.
Steuben Athletic Club.
Yeah.
It was upstairs from what was the Pearl Street Pub for a while, and I had a show up here.
Yeah.
So when I came here to meet you guys back in June, I walked in and I was like, I did a show here.
Oh, okay.
Good. Because your history of it was the Steuben Club, the first basketball game played in the state of New York.
There's a couple of, like, historic facts about the place. You know, there's a couple people who claim it on the internet, but there, you can go online, you can search where was the first basketball game played, and there's a entry on there that says, because this was originally the Albany YMCA back in the 1880s. Yeah, it's knocking over my brand new table.
You know what? I'm gonna open this can of soda since I've already derailed.
Yeah, keep it away from your laptop. but this was the original Albany YMCA, and Naismith invents basketball at the Springfield Y, and as legend has it, they traveled here, played basketball, game finished 1-0. But Winston Churchill had given a couple speeches here before he was prime minister. And the pool, which still exists in the basement of this building, is one of the, if not the oldest indoor swimming pool in the country, something like that. So the building is full of history, and we named it for this fella, Adam Blake, who had operated the Kenmore Hotel next door. This is a guy who was a son of enslaved Africans on the Van Rensselaer Plantation, who, you know, took some of the little privilege afforded to him after freedom and became this prolific entrepreneur in the hospitality industry, and, you know, did what we call workforce development now by training black men from the city of Albany to go work in Saratoga Springs and Newport, Rhode Island. And so it's just a, you know, not to, you know, detour too much, but my first gig in the assembly 100 years ago, I, you know, had worked on getting Henry Johnson the Congressional Medal of Honor. And anybody who lives in the Capital Region at least has a surface level understanding of Henry Johnson's heroics in World War I because of the Boulevard in Arbor Hill. And, you know, so in a way, that's a vessel to keep that story, this extraordinary man's story, alive. And I was astonished by, you know, we thought about naming it after Stu Benn and, you know, 100 other ideas we had. And then, you know, we landed on this Blake thing, and it's just an extraordinary story that everybody in the city of Albany, but especially young Black children, should understand the significance of what this guy did in that era. And we hope that this place can continue to be a vessel to share that story.
So you've taken the exact opposite approach of what many other historians have done by naming things after the bad guys, so yeah, to speak.
Well, you can Google about Stu Benn, and it definitely gave us some pause about naming
it. But you took pause is the
it
point.
It was big pause.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go too many pages on the Google search.
Well, yeah. If it's on page one, it's... And that's all you need to know.
Yeah, so
Sounds great. I didn't mean Keddie, to make a joke.
That's
great.
You know, Keddie, you know, found this Adam Blake thing, and we just, you know, we took it and we couldn't get enough information about it, and it's really an extraordinary story. And you know, we do a big thing every April around Adam's birthday where we kind of retell it, and you know, each year kind of becomes a little bigger and better. So you know, just I'm personally one of the things in my career I'm very proud of, that we're able to do this and create this facility for nonprofits, but at the same time have it be that vessel for this undertold story in Albany's history.
Yeah. So all of this history plus a comedy show.
Plus Aaron Hark's podcast being recorded here. I mean, it's Winston Churchill, Aaron Hark's, and basketball.
You know, it's all lateral if you think about it.
Yeah.
So you just got done running the New York City Marathon.
Not just. It was about 2 weeks ago.
It feels like it just happened.
I didn't just finish, yeah. Well, that would have been really long.
It took you a very long time, so you just finished it. Congratulations.
That's why you're the comedian.
I got it, though.
I did. I just ran the New York City Marathon on the 5th. It was an amazing experience. I'm not ready to say it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience because I really enjoyed the process of training. And, you know, I'm a whack job, so I like running by myself and it hurting and it's sucking. And at one point, a couple years ago, I'd run my first half marathon, and my son, Jude, who's 8 years old, he's asking me, he said, "Dad, why do you like running so much?" And I said, "I don't. I hate every second of it. But life is so freaking good, man, that I have to like invent ways for it to be more difficult. And so, you know, so that I can continue to appreciate it and have gratitude for, you know, all the abundance in my life." And yeah, that's what it is for me, you know, and training was a process, and I was able to do it, couple it up with a great cause, which provided extra motivation, but...
I just heard glass shattering above my head when you said that, by the way. Like, yeah. Life is so good that I feel like I've just been seen.
Yeah, well, yeah, and creating suffering in your life is is sort of essential when you have it as good as I do.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I just had to. I was like, "Wow, that makes a terrific amount of sense."
Yeah, it's a little different way of looking at things, but
I like it. I can definitely 100% relate to that. So I do that. I made it about me. We're gonna go right back to you.
You can make it about your show.
You said you were. said you did it.
So I was talking about
cause.
How I was in the most excruciating pain of my life when you jumped in and.
I wanted
severely
to be
dehydrated
in more pain.
And vomiting,
more pain.
Peeing my pants,
but not poop.
No, I mean, I you know, the thing about running is you either did the training or you didn't, right? So I did the training, so I went into it like very confident. I knew it was going to be difficult, but my takeaway from the course was, you know, I had a friend who kind of cautioned me. Some people put their name on their shirt, and some people don't, and. A friend cautioned me, like, "Oh, don't put your name on your shirt, man. It's New York City. There's going to be so much ball busting. Like, you don't want to deal with that when you're, like, you know, up against the wall, whatever." And what I can say about New York City, is that it was 100% universally positive. And
yeah, that's a weird thing to
with all this crap going on in the world right now, and there's a bunch of divisiveness, and I mean, you have stuff in Israel now and Gaza. You've got our own problems here at home, domestically. What I saw was the best of humanity, and it was the Wall Street bro. It was immigrants. It was children. It was senior citizens. It was everybody in the world in New York City and universally cheering on these 50,000 idiots that decided to run 26.2 miles across New York City. And
it was beautiful.
Just totally inspiring and one of the best days of my life.
That's great. That's surprising that somebody would have warned you about that, because I'm not even comparing the two, because honestly, like what I did.
Are you going to make it about you again?
I am going to make it about me. I gave you like 2 whole minutes. Yeah. It was talk about fucking suffering. No, when I did the 5 borough bike ride, which is 40 miles, but it was on a bike. So again, not comparing it, but it was the same thing. Like the just complete strangers just completely supporting what you do. And it's a beautiful thing. Like it never crossed my mind that somebody would be like heckling me.
Yeah. 22 miles in Harlem, coming back towards Central Park. The dude with the leader of Fireball was everybody's hero. Pouring shots of Fireball for everybody. I just ran 22 miles, dude. That's exactly what I need right now.
Did you?
A piece of a banana or a... No, I didn't. But I saw plenty of people who did.
That's crazy.
But I was very concerned about my physiology.
And, okay.
How, you know, finishing the race shit-faced was not how I envisioned it. So... I passed.
You're so mature.
Yeah.
I mean,
Oh, that's your phone.
Oh, yeah, that's my phone.
I'm muting your phone. I'm like, who the hell is... I won't out these you people, who's calling you.
No, these people don't know how to leave
Governor
me alone.
Hochul. Governor Hochul.
She's next week's guest.
It's your phone.
Going to make sure it's still recording. Yep, it is. Okay.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, it's we have both things going because I have my issues with media and technology. Anyway, so back to me. Yes. I have a funny
good segue back into
thank you very much. Well, I just needed my phone to ring. Yeah. I had that planned out. I did the Tour de Cure.
Yeah.
Also bike. And
For diabetes. I'm a diabetic.
Are you?
Oh, man.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much for all the help. It's really helped cure it.
Well, I couldn't ride this year. I had shit to do, but I'll get back next year. Yeah. Type 1?
I have type 2.
When did that come on?
Jeez. I've now had it longer than I haven't had it. So I think I was diagnosed around 19 or 20.
All right.
Yeah.
That was pretty sneaky how you just pulled an Aaron on me. You turned it right back around.
It's all about me.
Aaron. I've met my match, I think. This is...
Anyway, you were saying about your heroics in the efforts to cure diabetes.
This is going to cure you of thinking that
you hop off your
heroic.
Bike and are in the microscope looking at the cells and... Driving down the price of insulin.
Yeah, I was just doing like all these formulas in my head the whole time. But sure. I, the first year that I signed up, I was signing up by myself. I wasn't part of a team. I didn't really know what I was doing. And I just kind of signed up and I was, I got a red bib that day and I pinned it on. And while I'm riding, everybody was passing me. I had only been riding for a year. Yeah. Everybody's passing me, but everybody that's passing me is going, go Red Rider. And I was like, oh, that's sweet. I was like, oh, these people are so supportive. That's so nice, right? And so I said something to my husband. I was like, do you think they knew that it was like my first ride or that I was by myself or what? And he pointed to my fanny pack. He goes, I think they thought you were probably a little like touched, you know, just making a joke because I had this really ridiculous fanny pack that I wore all the time. So the following year I go to sign up again and I realize that Red Riders... are riders with diabetes.
Oh, so you were stolen valor.
So, exactly. So I had accidentally signed up as a Red Rider.
Jesus Christ.
And that's why they were cheering me on. And I'm like, okay, well, do I act like I cured it for myself? And
so now you're running around with an insulin pump. Just, you got to play into it. You got to lean into it.
I put
at this point
the thing on the back of my arm. Yeah. And yeah, I was like, what do I do here?
Eating healthy. You're doing all these drastic things.
I cured it with bike riding, guys. The proof is out there. I just had to change my name. And I felt like such an asshole. Right. It was like a whole entire year later that I realized my mistake.
They bring you up the United Way Awards and they say, And Erin suffered from type 1 diabetes for 15 years. And
she rode 50 miles. She raised thousands of dollars. What can you say about it at that point?
You've got to go with it.
I have to pretend for the rest of my life that I have diabetes.
Painted yourself into a corner.
Really did. And because I was playing an event that later that day, I wore one of my own shirts. So, I mean, I was just fucked. You know, did you know that Erin Harkes had diabetes? She cured it for herself, but nobody else?
Yeah.
I'm a terrible person.
I had a thought pop into my head, and I just censored myself. So.
Oh, come on.
No, I can't do it. So.
Will you tell me later?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
That's no fun. So what big events do you have coming up with the United Way that you want to hire me for?
We have a great event for you coming up. When is this going to air? Do you know
this episode? It will air...
You're like, we're live right now, dickhead.
It'll air, I believe, November 29th.
Oh, nice. Perfect. So next week, December 6th, or maybe the 5th, we have Perfect Pitch, which is a signature event we do at Brown's Revolution Hall over there in Troy. And it's put together by our Women United group, and they do a tremendous job. It helps get some more financial resources out in the community, some nonprofits that are working on stuff that deals particularly with women and women's issues, you know, but it's such a broad stroke these days. So
broad?
It was good. I did not try to sneak that in. And maybe I have to go do my resume now. I wish I was that clever, but so that was a good one. And so by the time this airs, by the time this sees the light of day, if I don't short circuit this laptop on the way out the door, that event will probably be sold out, though, because that one goes quick.
Well, that's okay, because if it's the 6th, then I'm not going to let you talk about it anymore.
Why? Is that your birthday?
No, that's my comedy album release.
Oh, you made a comedy album.
I did.
Okay. I didn't know you did comedy.
No?
I thought it was just a music
thing. That's weird. That's weird that you didn't know that.
I'm such a dick. I'm so excited for your freaking comedy album that I'm not going to go to Perfect Pitch anymore.
Well,
guys, cancel Perfect Pitch.
If it's the 5th, then you can go.
I don't know. Hold on. Where's my phone? Actually, open your phone and I'll...
I'm not touching my phone again. It's going to fuck everything up.
I better get the right...
You probably should. You're promoting this to tens of people, and you don't even have your information.
You know what? I don't want to talk about Perfect Pitch anymore. Okay? So maybe
it's too bad that you can't be there that night.
Yeah, I'm going to be home listening to...
No, you're going to be up in Saratoga at...
Oh, yeah, like a live...
Oh, yeah, we're doing a live. Thing. Yeah, okay. Red carpet.
Red carpet.
Yeah, bring the family.
To match your JDRF...
yes, a Red Rider.
Red Rider is back.
That's a callback. That's what they call a callback.
Well, I almost had a callback a minute ago when you were talking about struggling to the finish of the Tour de Cure, and I was like, and then Carm Basile comes up on a CDPHP cycle and is like, do you need a cough drop? But I didn't get the chance.
I'm sorry that I wasn't invited to his, what did you call it? Like his kicking him out party? What was it?
That's exactly what we called it.
Yeah.
The kicking him out party.
I think you should have hired me to roast him.
No, we did I would love to. We need a good roast here. The Kidney Foundation did something cool a couple of years. They did like Jim Miller and I think they did Jerry Jennings, but I feel like it went away with COVID.
Let's bring it back.
So good. Dude, roasting people is like, you know, a hobby, a passion of mine. I love a good roast. I love getting roasted.
I think between the two of us, we could put together a really good roast.
Yeah.
Why don't we roast Carm?
We should roast.
We're already halfway there.
He does decide on my compensation, which would be one reason not to roast Carm. But
fair.
He's got a good sense of humor.
I think he does.
He's got a good sense of humor, so. Love getting roasted.
Yeah. My friend Jen and I were hired to roast a woman on her birthday, and we didn't really know her that well.
Yeah.
And I think that made it interesting because she was just constantly like sending us like messages about things pertaining to it. And I was like, you are not paying us enough to take up this much of our time. And all you're doing is making us really, really angry. So the day that we show up, it's like happy birthday, bitch. You know, yeah. But it was really, it was
fun
to do.
Where'd you get those pants? They come in your size?
And I just, you know, fucked also her boyfriend for sport. Well,
Jesus,
you know, just,
Christ, Aaron.
What? Is this a soundproof room?
Yeah, soundproof. Soundproof room.
No, it was fun, but it was fun to work with my friend Jen to do stuff like that, and like we would love to turn that into something. I mean, obviously, we know how to do it where, like, you know, you don't go too far, and then you resolve
with
the
point of a roast if you don't go too far, though?
If you heard what I meant by going too far, you would understand what I mean.
I'd like to hear it.
Well, maybe you tell me what you were thinking when I hit pause, and then I'll tell you.
I've got another one, too. another one that popped into my head that we can have a whole, like, hey, join the Facebook Live, or we'll talk about, you know, all the things we wouldn't say on the podcast.
All right, yeah, we'll do, like a Mistress of None After Dark.
I'm so pumped for you, and I want to just say I'm so proud of you, because this December 6th thing is, it's awesome, and, you know, so especially today, especially these days, there is very little reward for putting yourself out there, because the chance that you're going to make extreme wealth or get extreme fame is very, very low. The chances that you're going to get a gang of shit for trying to like do something unique, something different, something that people haven't seen before is really, really high. And so it's a huge deterrent to keep people from doing it. And, I have a ton of respect for you for doing it, and I hope it all goes well for you.
I appreciate that. And this is also being videoed, so you'll see that I'm holding no weapons.
Nothing.
He's under no duress.
I'm 100% sincere.
I believe you.
Yeah, 100%.
And again,
sincere.
I know that's difficult for you, so I really appreciate
that. It's not that difficult for me. It's not that difficult for me.
I had to make a joke.
Speaking sincerely is very easy for me. The problem is, there's so much bullshit out there that when I do speak sincerely, it sounds like, you know, maybe I'm unhappy with the way things are going, or being in a meeting with the comedian that's hosting the award show. I got other things to do.
My problem with sincerity is that people don't believe me. They think that I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, all the time, yeah.
Like my brother, last time he was home, I was like, hey, I like that shirt. And he goes, listen, I just, blah, blah. And he was like, immediately started defending himself. I'm like, I fucking like your shirt.
Can I tell you something?
Sure.
Up until you walked through the door today at 2:02, I thought you were kidding about me being on the podcast. So, yes, you do have a problem with this. It's a major issue for you. I thought you were being sarcastic about doing the podcast together. And so, like, I didn't tell anybody here. People were like, why?
You have a major issue. I think that's amazing.
People were like, why are you hanging out by the entrance? I'm like, nothing. No reason. Just mind your own business. Like, what are you waiting? Are you, like, is there something we can help you with? I'm like, I got it from here. And then you walk through the door, and I was like, holy shit. She really wants to make a podcast with me.
Yeah.
So, like, here we are.
Like I said, we only had, like, that brief encounter. But yeah. I had a good feeling, and we had fun that night of the event, and then you just started, you know, like, stalking me online ever since. And
just go out, let's do a podcast.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
Well, it was funny because I made the mistake of asking people who I should interview, and of all the people that suggested things.
Nobody said me.
Well, you said you.
Oh, I said myself? Oh, my God, what an asshole.
But I was like, that's a good idea. I'm giving you a compliment now.
Oh, okay.
Because of all the other people that were suggested to me, I ended up deleting the post because I was like, you guys are the worst. Yeah.
Who are some of the other people?
I can't.
Oh.
That's why I had to take it down.
Yeah.
It's like people like, you clearly don't know
me at
all.
I was one of those people that as a kid was told I'd make a really good lawyer. And like, people don't know that, like, that's a really nice way to tell a kid that they're a huge asshole.
Yeah. I think I got told that myself.
And yeah, the number of people said, you should go to law school. You'd be a good lawyer. And now I know what they really meant.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you got to advocate for yourself.
You do.
And I think it's worked out well. It's been a great conversation.
I think so, too.
How much more time do we have?
I mean, I'm done.
You're done. Okay. I got a couple more things I want to go through.
Go ahead.
No, this has been awesome.
It's been great.
Would you come back here and record in the studio again? Like, maybe you could even use our equipment one time.
Everybody
wants a podcast studio. Nobody wants to podcast. That's my problem.
I would love podcasting here. This is a beautiful studio. I can't believe people. I see the cameras, the microphones are all set up.
Yeah.
I come in with my little, you know, thing that I had to YouTube to fix it before
we started.
Did you know
I ran the New York City Marathon?
I did.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay, we covered that.
You didn't
that.
Shit
okay.
your pants.
I did not.
That's the biggest.
I was looking for someone because I heard it happens a lot.
Yeah.
I was looking the whole time. But the worst I saw anything happen to anybody was like some guy got really dehydrated.
Yeah. Your body gets really fucking weird when you get dehydrated. I've seen videos of it. I had it happen to me one. No, like oh, you, like in general. Oh, okay.
So how do you
know? No, I'm not stalking you as much as you think.
Yeah.
I had a really bad dehydration once in college and
okay.
started doing that. My body was like folding into itself. I had to be like taken to the hospital. Oh. It was wild. And so,
if
like,
I had known about this, I probably wouldn't have run the marathon. So.
Well, you probably were smart enough to make sure that you stayed hydrated. You avoided the fireball. So
avoided the fireball.
You made good decisions.
I hadn't had any alcohol for, like, you just don't want it when you're running like that.
Yeah.
Like for weeks and weeks and weeks and months.
But that's smart. Not everybody makes those same decisions.
Yeah. Well.
So you made good life choices.
I did. Yeah. In this particular instance, it worked out okay. All right.
All right. Well, what's next for Pete Gannon?
Next, well, you know, we have the holidays, which I love. Such a great time of year. I am so grateful. This will probably, I guess, is coming out after Thanksgiving, but you know, November is like a real month of gratitude for me every year. And I do have a lot of, you know, there's so much abundance in my life. My family's had a challenging year, but we are relentlessly grateful and positive for everything. It's a great community. As long as I have a platform like this, I mean, how many people do you get to listen to this thing? A couple thousand people?
At least 10. So.
At least 10. Okay, well, to the 10 people listening, like, you know, this community, I didn't need, you know, my family to go through a difficult time to understand what people thought of me and how people felt about me in this community. I feel it all the time, and I give it back, right? And but this year was definitely a reminder of just how strong that love is. So I got a lot of love for Capital Region. Which...
Well, I think that was what impressed me, was that I, like, found out and then saw, like, your posts are always so grateful and positive, and that's inspiring, because it's really easy to go the other way. Do you want to talk about your year real quick?
My year? Well, yeah, sure. My son, Jack, who's 5 years old, he was diagnosed with leukemia back in February. Kind of a real curveball.
Yeah.
You know, real curveball, because... I just thought he didn't want to sit on the toilet by himself.
Aww.
I thought he was, but you know, it turns out he was having some like serious abdominal pains. First things we knew. And, you know, going through that journey, I mean, we had so many people around us, so much love, but it's still so, so isolating, right? No, not a lot of people can relate to what you're going through, but,
You're also a little cautious with who you want to share it with at first too, because it's like, it's so personal. And
there's so many factors to consider. How it's going to impact his brother, how it's going to impact his sister. You know, is my wife okay? You know, is Jack going to be okay, right? There's a lot of unknowns. And so, you know, there's no other choice. I mean, in that instance, and you know, thanks to social media, you can find a lot of those people that, man, one thing doesn't go their way. It's a whole why me thing. And I've never found a ton of value in that, even with stuff not nearly as significant as a life-threatening illness to my child. There's not a lot of value in the why me, and like, why us? Why is this happening? You know, there's a clip of Stephen Colbert, who, if you don't know, he lost like family members in a plane crash, I think, when he was a young boy. And it's a clip, it's a video that I've played over and over again in the past 9 months. You know, I love existing. Part of existing is suffering. If you want to be grateful for your existence, you got to be grateful for all of it. And that's a lesson I learned from Colbert, who is normally a pretty funny dude, but serious in this moment. And learning how to be grateful for the things in your life that you wish never happened, right? And that's a lesson that I think everybody can take, whether it's something as serious as your child being diagnosed with cancer, or, you know, not getting the job that you really wanted, or, you know, being grateful for those things you wish didn't happen, because that makes you a better human. Makes you a better human. And the dads who I've now met over the past few months that I can empathize with and I can share conversation with or advice or, you know, just, you know, be supportive and listen. I never would have been able to do that if I hadn't lived through it myself. So it's another one of those quirks about me that I think people don't fully understand or get, but it's just something I believe in 100%. And, you know, I think a lot of times too, when you hear, my belief was always, oh, somebody's got cancer and they're talking positive on social media, it's got to be like this false positivity. That guy's got to be completely full of shit. I'm not full of shit when I tell you, earnestly, and certainly I have days where I'm very sad, and I have moments where I'm very sad and
of course
frustrated, but overwhelmingly positive, grateful, and just, you know, grateful for this community. I mean, shout out to Albany Med. Like, I don't know what we'd be doing if we weren't 8 minutes from the clinic. Mm-hmm. We meet families that are from Plattsburgh or Oneonta and stuff like that, how they're doing it. You know, there's other charities set up to support them, but it's just an extra layer to a crisis that I couldn't even contemplate. And the team, and we have this resource right here in the Capital Region that is second to nobody in the country. And they've taken such great care of Jack and all of our family, really, that, you know, we're really grateful for that. And everybody else who's come along, right? The person who shoots you a message on Facebook, to the people who've, you know, sent food or cash or whatever. It's been pretty awesome experience to feel that love and that support.
That's, I can't even make a joke about that. That's a beautiful thing.
I like offensive humor.
You want me to talk about your haircut?
Yeah, haircut is struggling right now.
No, that's awesome. Like I said, that was one of the things that definitely like endeared me to wanting to talk to you, because like you had pretty much just gotten that news, and like, you know, like back in June, you had just come from an appointment or something even, and you were just kind of like, just like shaking it off. So then we like got to know each other. And then since then I have seen these posts, and they are inspiring. You are like, this sucks. This situation sucks. But you're like, look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to run the marathon. I'm going to take care of my shit. And yeah, it always seems very positive when you have every reason in the world to just, you know, go the other direction.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not bullshit. I don't see it that way. I feel quite the opposite, in fact.
That's great.
In that I have everything to be grateful for.
And that's great, and that's rare, because you get a lot of people that are like, yeah, like you said, why me? Can I catch a break? I remember, like, I was going through a particularly difficult time in my life, and I made the mistake of saying, what else could possibly go wrong?
Oh, yeah.
And then I found out.
Right, yeah.
And so I stopped saying that. Yeah. But also, I try my best to. I have moments where in my head I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Why? And then I'm like, okay, you know what though? If I didn't have this moment, then I wouldn't know what the really good moments were.
Yeah.
I need the relativity. I need the.
You get it. 100%.
Yeah. The perspective, you know, and so, I commend you for that and your whole family, and I think that's great. How's Jack doing now?
He's doing great. He's attacking kindergarten when he can. Still going, you know, he's going through the process of his treatments, but his prognosis remains very positive. Living in it is tough, you know, every day. He's taking chemotherapy at home, and it'll be that way for him for, you know, almost another 2 years, you know, to the, you know, late spring of 2025. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot from Jack. He's my hero. He inspires me every day. Mm-hmm. And you know, he rolls with it. He rolls with it, and you know, definitely has his moments where he's frustrated too. But you know, just a great kid. He's so full of life, and you know, through really the grind of the treatment, you know, first 8 or 9 months is really tough. You know, losing your hair, not feeling great. We're into a little bit much more manageable phase. We get more looks into the old Jack, and we love every second of that.
Yeah.
And it's been great, but he's a trooper. He's the toughest dude I know, and he's just been an inspiration the entire time.
Oh, he's got a good role model.
Yeah, Lauren is good. You're right about that. She is good. And he's got me, you know, but yeah.
You
know.
See, you try and give him that a compliment.
He's got a lot of great role models, you know, and you know, our friend Casey was diagnosed with cancer the same week as Jack. He's, you know, got a clean bill of health now and has gone through some of his own adjustments in life. And, you know, just these, you know, the different people in our life who've reached out and, you know, are inspirations to us and to Jack. And, you know, I hope at some level I am an inspiration to him, because I've tried to show him, you know, that you don't give up, that you got to keep pushing. And it's serving him well so far. So, I hope he continues to stay the course, and that's it. Just hope for a great outcome for them.
That's awesome. Well, I'll be thinking about you guys. And, you know, thanks for bringing it down.
My bad.
Thank you so much for meeting with me, though. This has been a lot of fun.
It's been good. It's been great. This is awesome. Good luck on December 6th. You're going to kick ass.
Thank you.
And I'm a big, big fan and sincere admiration. I listened. I know you want to wrap this up. You have probably something else to do.
Well, if you're going to compliment me, then go ahead.
No, but before this, to just kind of get the vibe, I had never listened to your, I hate to say this.
That's all right.
Out loud. That's I'd never listened to Mistress of None
before. Until today.
Before today. So I scrolled through the episodes and I was like, I got a half hour. Which one do I want to listen to? And I picked the episode of Matt. And right at the top, he pays you an amazing compliment. That's 100% accurate.
That's sweet. He knocked me out with that.
To you know, and I understand. I used to do a little stand-up comedy back when I was a younger man. And the dedication it takes to commit to being a performer, whether it's being a musician, the comedy, to dedicate yourself to it. It's not like what 99.9% of us choose to do, which is a 9-to-5 with a guaranteed income. And the only way to succeed at it is to grind and to show up and to be relentless. And, you know, go and listen to Matt's episode because he did it far better than I did. But an amazing compliment that I will co-sign on every day of the week. So,
well, you gave me some pretty nice compliments too, and I appreciate you for it. So,
okay. You're welcome.
But I mean, yeah, go listen to Matt's too. I'm not going to tell you what to do, you know?
Yeah, go listen to Matt's. Do any of these other people you interview pay a compliment? Or, no,
they do. I only interview people that kiss my ass.
That makes sense.
I've actually interviewed like hundreds, but only 15 have gone to air because if they don't say the magic words, and you know, just gets thrown
in
the graveyard.
Did this really stop recording after a minute and a half?
No.
I'm just kidding. I was screwing with you.
You dick. All right, on that note.
A lot of fun.
Pete Gannon, thank you so much. This is Erin Harps of the Mistress of None, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harks.
That was Pete Gannon with the United Way here in Albany. It's a great nonprofit organization. It was really awesome spending the afternoon and talking with him. He's just such a positive guy with the hand he's been dealt with what's going on with his son and everything. That was, I think, like I said, when I was talking to him, what kind of like drew me to him. We got to work together and just seeing that post and just like nothing gets the guy down. He's also super sarcastic, which I really appreciate. I mean, that resonates with me. But that was a long interview and it was a long intro. So I'm going to cut this short because I'm pretty sure he's watching something funny while he pedals downstairs. And yeah, he's laughing. I don't know if you can hear that, but not that I don't love laughter. Anyway, this has been Mistress of None. Remember, if you're in the area tonight, go to Cafe Lena, 7 o'clock for Lena Go Round. If you're not in the area, we will have a live feed stream. I believe it's also the same price. I'll post that on my website so you have the chance to do that. But if you are there, we love bodies in the seat. So come to that. And don't forget, 1 week from today, Uncle Ernie is coming out on iTunes and Spotify and YouTube. Download it. Share it with your friends. Help me out. All right. Like, listen, follow to Mistress of None. Thank you so much for tuning in. Share with your friends. Share with your enemies. I don't care. Just because you don't like them doesn't mean they're not good people. And I love you all so much. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.